Sorry About Last Night by Alexi Sale, starring Alexi Sale and Siobhan Redmond. Episode 3, A Animal.
Hello, Julie.
Mr. Hammond, come in. Sit down. You didn't have to deliver those documents yourself.
It's always a pleasure to visit my favourite solicitor. Huh.
There's not much news on your application for political asylum, I'm afraid. These documents show you were an opponent of Saddam, right?
Yes, a pamphlet I wrote, a tape of a speech I made, and a photo of me showing my bottom at the Independence Day parade.
Well, I'll be going to the Home Office later and I'll pass them on, though I don't know what effect they'll have.
Oh, not to worry. It's always nice to get away from the refugee centre. Despite what you might think, a place full of displaced people going nowhere isn't much fun. Anyway, it gives me a chance to catch up on what's been going on between you and Andy. Can I use the tape recorder as usual? For the benefit of the others back at the centre. Hmm?
Well, I suppose so.
Good. Just tell me what you had for breakfast.
What?
Tell me what you had for breakfast. It's what professional recording people say when they want to get a sound level from somebody. So, what did you have for breakfast?
Well, as a matter of fact, for my breakfast at 6 a.m. this morning, I had 6 portions of anginaris me anitho, a dish of artichokes with dill, followed by gotopolo stivatho, a peasant chicken stew simmered with onions, and melopita, honey pie, to finish.
Ooh, that sounds like an awful lot for breakfast.
It was. I was starving, though. I hadn't eaten anything since the previous lunchtime. It's a long story.
The best kind.
Okay. As you know, Andy and I are married but still not living together, which is very frustrating. We were looking really hard for a place to buy, but we couldn't seem to find anything suitable at the right price. Andy had taken on extra work as a security guard to raise more cash for a deposit.
Hi there, I'm Addy Carlides. I'll be doing the shift with you.
Hi, all right. My name's McNabb.
So, what's the drill here?
First, visit us check in with the receptionist behind the desk over there. They tell her which Home Office, Foreign Office or Defence Department official wish to see. They obtain a security passes, right, and name tags, and then they proceed to the lifts behind, showing their passes to us as they go.
Anybody give you any trouble?
Nah. The only ones that give you jitteries, bleeding left-wing lawyers we often get in here visiting the Home Office.
Nice. So, were you in the forces then, like me, or what?
No, always was a security guard, and I always was be. See, all my family are high achievers. Mummy and daddy are doctors, brother and sisters, lawyers, you know, psychologists be the bagful. Cousin invented the hobnob biscuit, you ken. Nephew, he's a lead singer with the band Radiohead. It was dinned into me I had to have ambition, ambition, ambition. So, I reckoned, if you have to have ambition, why not be ambitious to join a profession that pays shite money that'll take anybody while conferring on him a small degree of petty authority? Proud to be a security guard.
Original life plan.
Aim low, that's my motto. Watch out, left-wing lawyers at 9 o'clock.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I have just been notified that we've gone to Security State Tangerine.
Security State Tangerine?
That's right, sir. And that means that I have to conduct a full body search of selected individuals.
What?
You, madam, Miss Julie Cordova, is it? If you please, could you just...
It's ridiculous. A body search has to be conducted by a female guard.
No, Angela, we're all responsible for security. If we're at Security State Tangerine, then please go ahead. Tell me what to do.
Thank you, madam. If you could just spread your legs wide apart and hold your arms outstretched.
Like this?
Exactly. Now I'm going to run my hands along your arms and down your back, over your backside and down the back of your skirt, like this. Now I'm going to have to unbutton your jacket, I'm afraid.
Oh, certainly. Go ahead. I am helpless, completely in your control. That's a very authoritative-looking uniform, by the way.
Yes, madam. Bannerman Security get their uniforms from Security Guards de Paris.
Oh.
Mine is a blend of 18th-century French Lancer and Roman Centurion, with a hint of Gestapo about the patent leather jackboots.
Yes, it makes you look very cruel and merciless.
So, I undo each button, slowly, like so.
Mm-hmm.
Now I run my hands around inside your jacket and all over the front of your body.
Yes, you must cover every inch
I think I've nearly finished, madam.
Yes, me too.
Lastly, I'm going to get down on my knees and slide my hands up your legs from your ankles Ooh. Up to the very tops of your thighs, Ooh. Like this.
Oh, yes,
yes,
good.
And thank you, madam. Please proceed.
Oh, not at all. Security first.
Blimey, first day on the job, and you're a contender for security guard of the year. You know, this deed ranks alongside the brave actions of security guard Patel, who successfully stopped Sir Terence Conran getting into his own shop on 4 separate occasions.
Do you want another coffee?
No, thanks. Honestly, all the other lawyers were giving me the strangest looks.
That's nothing. After you'd gone, I was still on my knees, right? I looked up, McNab's talking to me, and there was this huge bloke standing in front of me, his arms outstretched, his legs spread wide, and an expectant smile on his face.
So did you search the bloke?
No, I told him we'd return to Security State Banana. But we're going for sushi together one night next week. So did you get the details of this place from the estate agent?
Yes, it's not far away. We can walk. And Gavin, the holistic estate agent, said he'd meet us there.
Buy the bag of shea. Help the homeless.
Sure, I'll take one.
Here's.
How many copies is that this week?
27.
Ever read it?
Christ, no. Though people say big issue journalists are more arrogant and snobby than those on Italian Vogue.
Don't you think it's odd buying so many copies of a magazine you don't read? I don't mean to be insulting, but have you ever, you know, seen anybody?
Seen anybody? Oh, you mean therapy?
Yeah.
Excuse me, could you give me 50p for a sandwich?
I don't know, mate, I'd have to see the sandwich first.
Andy, don't be a smart-ass. Yes, sure, there's a pound for you.
Thank you, miss, you're very kind, even if your father isn't yet.
Does that mean you've had therapy?
Yes.
What types?
All of them.
Excuse me, I'll clean your windscreen, lady.
But I'm not in the car.
Oh, clean your windscreen when you get a car. Sort of open an account.
Fair enough. Here's a pound.
Oh, thanks very much. Nice one.
So you've had a lot of therapy. Did it do you any good?
Well, in a way. But after a while, I wondered why I was paying all these people just to listen to me. I decided I could get just as much benefit spilling my guts to anyone, so now I just tell everybody everything all the time. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
Hello, I'm deeply insecure in relationships, which often makes me aggressive. I've also had a mild venereal disease twice, which was cured by antibiotics.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Well, I wonder if you could help me. I've just run out of petrol, my car's down the road, and I've got to take my kids to the ballet lesson, so if you could let me have £2.70?
It's a scam, don't give him anything. Shut up.
There you go.
Ah, nice.
So what about you seeing somebody in the therapist line?
Me? No, I can't, you know, tell anybody, well, anything really about, you know, emotions.
Well, maybe you should talk to somebody. Don't you have any problems from, you know, in the army, killing people?
No, they do a pretty good job of deadening you to that. See, that's what all that drill and regimental bullshit's about. First, it's stuff like cleaning latrines with a toothbrush and painting coal white. Then there's the weird rituals. You know, like every Sherwood Forester wears an apple under his helmet every July the 12th. Or in my lot, the regimental goat used to take parade dressed as Queen Victoria on New Year's Eve. After 6 months of that, when the sergeant says, son, just bayonet those civilians, will you? Seems like a good idea. So, no problem.
But don't you ever want to just open up and talk to someone?
Talking's a problem, see? Army training. Rigorously trained never ever to talk. Not about tactical secrets or any of that crap. I mean, nobody'd give a stuff if you sold all our air defence plans to the Iraqis. But if you ever once spoke about them, you know, your emotions, court-martialing offence. It's in Queen's regulations. A soldier shall, at all times, suppress, subvert and squash his emotions and sublimate them into beating up the civilian population of Aldershot, killing people and listening to Phil Collins tapes on a Walkman.
Excuse me. I'm the pilot of an emergency ambulance helicopter and we've run out of fuel. It's the NHS cuts. And I wondered, you know, if... £4.60 would do
it. Oh, for God's sake, this is...
Of course. Here you are.
Oh, very kind. Thanks a lot.
I'm not sure you're anybody to be talking about the benefits of therapy.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, this compulsive generosity thing. I mean, have you noticed how much this walk's cost you? It would have been cheaper to travel this distance in Concord.
Oh.
You seem to have this compulsion to help the poor and undeserved. Well, I never.
Andy and Julie, hi.
Oh, hi, Gavin. It's nice to see you again.
Now, here's the details of the house here. Mrs. Saunders, lovely, lovely woman. So, enjoy, and don't forget to listen to the brick.
Pleasant maisonette, two bedrooms, roof terrace, separate kitchen.
And the peace and quiet of respectable suburbia. If we move in here, our neighbours will never suspect our secret alter egos, will they, swamp woman, with your mysterious ability to turn an ordinary bathroom into a habitat for endangered species?
Yeah, right. Plonking obvious man with the thrilling power to take a little joke and strip it of all humour. This is the place.
Stay. Stay.
Hi, the estate agent.
Oh, said. Quick, for pity's sake, come in.
Oh. Is everything all right?
Oh, yes. No problems. Right, I'll show you the living room first. You can probably see it quite well through the holes in the door. Ah, I'm afraid you'll have to excuse the state of the place.
I can't see anything wrong with it.
Well, it's a wee bit of a mess.
Are you kidding? What's happened here? The curtains looked like they'd been put through a combine harvester and an elephant's vomited all over the three-piece suite.
Oh, you're so neat and anal. It's just a little messy.
Hiroshima after the atom bomb was a little messy. This place is a tip.
So, what do you think?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yes, this is the living room. South-facing, very sunny in the mornings.
Well, yes, it seems lovely. Why are you moving?
Well, since my husband left, I plan to move to the country. Somewhere remote. The Highlands, perhaps, for Monty's sake. There's a distinct lack of carrion around here for him. Monty, Monty! Monty!
Monty?
Yes, Monty. He's my pet. My pet. Would you like to meet him? He's in here somewhere. Monty, Monty! Monty! Oh, there he is, sitting under the table. Tell your friends to say hello to you, darling. Now, no, down. No sudden movements. Try and stay upwind of him.
Oh, sweet.
My God, what is it?
Well, I'm not exactly sure.
Some sort of animal.
Oh, definitely some sort of animal.
Where did he come from?
Well, that was the saddest thing. He was abandoned by our downstairs neighbours. I mean, poor Monty couldn't do anything right in their eyes. I remember their little girl crying on the doorstep. Some nonsense about Monty biting the heads off all her dollies. And the fuss they made when he ate their poodle. It wasn't as if the dog wasn't old when all was said and done. And then they just ran off in the middle of the night while poor Monty was fast asleep.
Well, I'm against capital punishment as a general rule, but people who could abandon a helpless animal like that...
You're so right. Of course, he was still a baby then. He was quite small at first. There was a covering of fluffy fur before the scales came through. But then, once he started growing, it didn't take long for my husband to leave. He said he didn't see why he had to sit on the roof of next door's shed every time he had any boiled sweets. And then he moved out. At least I think he moved out. He didn't take any of his stuff with him. It was odd, that.
Well, you and Monty are better off alone.
Oh, definitely, dear.
Because it's unconditional love you get from a pet, isn't it?
Oh, yes. No nagging, no arguments. Better all round. Once me and Monty get up to the Highlands, we'll be free then. Now, let me show you the rest of the house. Oh, I'm sorry. He does leave a bit of a slimy trail. Oh, try not to step in it. It's a teeny bit corrosive. So, you've seen everything now. Andy, I'm sorry about what Monty did to your coat. It's lucky you got it off as quickly as you did.
Well, like you said, it was my fault for screaming. It startled him.
Lovely to meet you, Julie.
Oh, it's been a real treat for me.
Bye-bye now.
Monty, I'm coming in. Down now. No, you're not going out. No. Now get off the ceiling.
Blimey, the last time I saw something like that, it was in Genesis. So they were an ugly bloody band, weren't they?
When we get our own place, we'll have lots of animals.
Yeah, I suppose so, but preferably ones from this planet.
Don't you love animals? I couldn't love someone who didn't love animals.
Of course I do. Love animals. Big animal lover.
Now, talking of our own place, the people I lodge with are going away for the weekend, so you can come and stay. And I thought we might throw a dinner party like a real married couple.
OK, great, yeah. Who are you going to invite?
Well, not many. A pair of couples. I thought Pete and Prue.
Yeah, they're not too bad, as your Cambridge mates.
And, Tony and Sherry Blair.
What? Prime Minister and his wife?
Yes. I've known them both for ages, from the old Labour Party days in Hackney. And I've worked with Sherry a lot, and they're always saying how they'd love to see me, so I've already mentioned it to them, and they've said they'd love to come, and Tony's dying to meet you.
Oh, fair enough, then.
One thing, though, I can't cook, so do you think you could get your dad to do us a really impressive Greek meal? I'd like to make a good impression.
I can ask.
Also, who are you going to invite?
Me.
Yes, because whoever it is, they're going to have to be vetted by the special branch for security clearance.
Oh, I see, right. I don't know anybody. How about my brother Michael?
No. He'd pinch Sherry's arse and try to get Tony to get him off his drink driving convictions.
Well, I'll have to think about it.
Well, okay, but don't leave it too long. I'm going home now. Bye.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the headlines tonight. News of fresh massacres in Bulgaria.
Hooray!
Evidence of police brutality in Turkmenistan.
Hooray!
And the bakery that's also a hovercraft.
Hooray!
Exactly. Hiya, Dad. Michael.
Hello, son. How's the wife?
I don't know.
What? You haven't seen her?
No, I've seen her. I just don't know who she is.
I think she's a thin, nervous bird called Julie.
I know that, you prick. It's just that I find new facets to her personality every day. Except they don't seem to belong to the same person. Did you know she was mad about animals?
Yeah, it's obvious.
Obvious. Cat person.
Five or six cat persons.
And a dog with a skin disease. Minimum.
Well, it wasn't obvious to me. Honestly, sometimes I don't think it's worth it.
You married her. We told you not to.
You didn't?
We did. In body language.
Yes. And strange grunting noises when she was mentioned. She's a lovely woman, but she's a bit, complicated.
Well, thanks for your sympathy.
You know where sympathy comes in the dictionary, son? Between shit and syphilis. And it's too late to back out now. I was happily married to your mum for 35 years.
No, you weren't. You were married for 30 years.
35 years? Yes. That's how long I've had this watch. It's a good watch.
Anyway, she wants us to give a dinner party next weekend, so can you cook us a Greek feast, please, Dad?
Of course I can, son. Anything to help. As long as it doesn't involve anything emotional.
Thanks, Dad.
I mean, I was trying to give us a semblance of married life, even if Andy found some tiny thing wrong with every place we looked at. He says, oh, a family was massacred in this flat, we can't live here, or this house is built on an old Indian graveyard, or this flat is infested with snakes. I mean, all my friends think I'm mad for marrying him. Then there was the ignominy of our special branch security vetting.
My goodness, Mr. Hamad, trouble in paradise.
You haven't heard the half of it yet, Mrs. Abasanjo.
It's funny, my entire family is missing, and I don't know if my home still stands. But I worry most about Andy and Julie.
Ah, don't worry, Mr. Lukic. They're in love. They just drive each other crazy. Though they both know, deep down, being together is a fate better than death.
And they're not going to do any better. Andy's no catch. Mm. He's at the age when women start dressing you with their eyes.
Carry on playing the tape.
So, midweek, the special branch came to Andy's dad's flat above the cafe for our security check.
Yes?
Mr. Karolides, I'm Detective Inspector Troon. This is Sergeant Pilcher. May we come in?
Yeah, come through. Julie, this is D.I. Troon and Sergeant Pilcher.
Hello, you're here for the security vetting.
That's right, Miss Cordova, or Mrs. Karolides. There seems to be some confusion about that.
Yes, here too. Anyway, sit down. I'm sure we check out whiter than white.
Not quite, madam. I'm afraid there is the small matter of Mr. Karolides and some letters to the singer Mariah Carey.
Oh, God. I just inquired whether she wanted to sell her old pants.
In a rather abusive way, I believe there was a court order in the end.
Which I complied with to the letter.
Indeed. Which is why we're prepared to let the dinner party go ahead. The Prime Minister's very keen to see Miss Cordova again. Now, your friends Pete and Prue check out, so does just Mr. Karolides' guest. Who is?
McNabb. Yeah, McNabb. Colin McNabb. He's a security guard with me at the Home Office.
We'll look into his background. If you don't hear from us, assume he's fine.
Thanks for your time. We'll let ourselves out.
Bye.
Bye.
Dream lover, come rescue me. Take me up, take me down.
Shut up!
So what's wrong with my pants?
Wouldn't say no.
Well, then...
Come on,
share forever with you, baby.
Can I see your pass, please, sir? Thank you.
McNab, can I ask you something?
Aye, certainly, Andy.
Would you like to come to dinner tonight with me and the wife?
No, I couldn't, Andy. You live a life of glittering excitement, brilliant conversation amongst luminescent personalities conducted in marble halls. It's no my world, Andy. I'm a simple man with simple tastes.
Oh, but you'd be helping out. You know, I've said you're coming. I've told some people.
Nah, I'm sorry, Andy. The answer's no. I'll tell you what, though. I don't like the look of that bloke hanging around outside. He's been there most of the morning.
Where?
There, middle-aged bloke, blazer, big hat, jeans, staring eyes.
I know him. It's me old captain from the regiment. He's all right. Here, hold the fort. I'm going to go and talk to him.
Aye.
Captain Healy.
What? Who? No?
It's me, Sergeant Carolides, from the regiment.
Sergeant? My God! How are you?
I'm fine, Captain, fine. Yourself still in the regiment?
No, I, no. Had to leave. Bit of trouble. Got in the soup.
Oh, that's a shame. You're all right, though.
Will be. Got something to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Would you like to come to dinner tonight with me and me wife?
Oh, well, that would be marvellous.
I have to tell you, the Prime Minister and his wife will be there.
Really?
Yeah, bit of a security thing, but I'm sure you're fine with Special Branch.
Oh, yes, they know all about me down at Special Branch.
Terrific. About eight, then.
Super.
So, what's Dad made again?
Aguinaldo's mi anito, that's a starter dish of artichokes with dill, uh-huh. Followed by gotopolos di fado, that's a peasant chicken stew simmered with onions, and melopita, honey pie to finish.
Oh, that'll be Pete and Prue. Get it, will you?
Okay.
Hi there, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
Pete, Prue. Prue, I have to say, I am so sorry again about the leg injury I gave you at the laser game.
Ow.
Yes, I'm walking almost normally now.
Yeah, great time.
Come in.
Something smells good.
We brought some wine. I'll take it through to Jules in the kitchen.
Get your drink, Pete.
Yeah, great. G&T.
All right. So, Pete, what do you fancy for the National?
Well, I think Trevor Nunn's production of The Merchant of Venice at the Cottesloe should be a theatrical tour de force.
No, I meant the horse race. Oh, that'll be my guest.
Pete, are you drinking?
No.
What's that in? Captain Healy.
Ah, hello, Sergeant.
Come in. You should really call me Andy.
Why?
It's my name.
Of course. You should call me Quint.
Right, come in then. Julie, McNab couldn't make it, but I bumped into my old captain, Captain Healy. Quintus, this is my wife, Julie, and this is Pete and Prue.
Charmed to meet you all.
Hello.
Hi. Julie, my dear, I know it's traditional to bring a bottle of wine on these occasions, but I thought I'd bring a spatula instead, so much more practical.
Oh, thank you.
It's rosewood, you know.
Great.
He's, not here then.
Who?
Him. Blair.
No, they're coming from a reception for the Sultan of Bhutan, so they might be a little late. But, we can drink until they get here. Mm. Quintus.
What?
Drink?
Smashing? Yeah, I'll have a nice big whiskey.
Just saying, the food smells delicious.
Don't let me eat too much, though. I'm on a diet.
No, you don't need to.
I went on a crash diet once for 2 weeks.
What did you lose?
I lost 14 days. No, really, I did. Complete blank for a fortnight. I was in Hanover when it started, and I came to in a bus station in the south of Turkey, my pockets full of stones and another man's vest on.
Oh.
So, you left the army?
Left, yes. Had to leave.
Got straight into a top job in industry, I expect.
Ah, yes, you see the adverts all the time in the papers. Wanted fellow with the shakes who can't stop crying all the time for top job in industry. Did you vote for him?
Who?
Blair.
Yes, of course. We all did, I hope. Very pleased, by and large. School league tables.
Tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime. Peace in Northern Ireland. Mo is an absolute star.
Mo is great, so brave.
Hair's growing back. She's donating her wig to Elton John, apparently.
Yeah, good old Mo. I saw this sticker on a lamppost. It said, New Labour, New Bastards. Frankly funny, I thought. Good old Mo. Good old Tony meeting with good old Jerry, and good old Jerry's mates up in the flats with a sniper's rifle, taking up the corporal on patrol, splattering his brains all over the lamppost.
I'll get it.
No, I'll get it.
Captain, you're all right. Would you like another whiskey?
Yes.
Nice big whiskey.
This is Tony and Sherry, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Sorry about my bodyguards. Just got to check the place out.
Blair! You new bastard!
Captain Healy!
My goodness. What a story. Why hasn't any of this been in the papers?
They took us down to Special Branch, grilled us till 5 in the morning, then made it pretty clear that we weren't to mention it to the press if we knew what was good for us. They've still got Andy, though they allowed me to speak with him before they let me go home.
What happened to Captain Healy?
Oh, he's dead. D.I. Troon shot him dead. He only got one shot off. Hit Prue in the leg. They say they can probably save it. Going to be difficult getting his blood off the Colfax and Fowler curtains, though. Never seen anybody shot before. So, that's how Andy ruined my dinner party by inviting an assassin to meet the Prime Minister, and that's what I had for breakfast.
What did Andy say?
What he always says, that he's really sorry about last night.
Is that enough?
Not this time, no. I think I might be getting divorced before I've lived with my husband.
Wow. Whew, gosh. What a pickle. To be continued.
Sorry About Last Night was written by Alexi Sale, who also played Andy. Siobhan Redmond was Julie. Nadim Sawala was Mr. Hamad. Adjoa Ando was Mrs. Ambassanjo. Chris Pavlo was Mr. Lukic. Harry Taub was Dad. Gary Bleasdale was Michael. Simon Greenall was McNab and Gavin. Dune McKeegan was Mrs. Saunders and D.I. Troon. Tony Barclay was Sergeant Pilcher, Roger Blake was Captain Healy, and Brian Bowles was Tony Blair. Other parts were played by the cast. Sorry About Last Night was produced and directed by Joe Clegg with Alexi Sale.